Well, it's good to be here with you guys this morning. My name's Clayton. I'm a lead pastor here at Central. And when I was growing up, I had the opportunity to live next door to my grandparents. And so I had like two homes growing up. I had two kitchens to eat all the food in. It was awesome. And I still remember going and opening my grandparents' garage door. And I go in the garage and they had a refrigerator full of this, okay? Coke. And I'm not talking about just fake Coke. I'm talking about the real thing. In 1969, Coca-Cola came out with their new ad, calling themselves the real thing. And all around the world, everyone knows a Coke by its brand and by its name. In fact, today, this one right here I've got with me it's the serious real thing. This isn't like no high fructose corn syrup. This is made in Mexico, real cane sugar like it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I'm going to open it up for myself today. And y'all can just sit here and enjoy me drinking this. I'm going to have a little bit. I did this in the first or second service and it went bad. I spit all over myself. It was, bad. Had hiccups the rest of the service. We'll see how it goes. But this is actually really good. Y'all know this is really good. That's a lot of sugar. Okay. So today, we're going to look at the difference between these two things. You see, this one is a Sam's Cola. Anybody ever had a Sam's Cola? I don't know. I got this from the store yesterday. If you go to a party and open up a cooler and it's full of just Sam's Cola, you know they skimped on you, right? Because that's fake. That's the real thing. And today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what is the real thing when it comes to living out your faith and what is an imposter, what's a fake. Today, that's what we're going to do, looking at Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. So you have your Bibles, you can turn there. As you guys are turning there, last week in Acts chapter 6, we talked about the first deacons. They were elected and approved by the church, and they became the first servant leaders within the church. And one of the guys who was one of these deacons, his name was Stephen. And Stephen at some time gave his life to Jesus. He recognized that without Jesus in his life, his future was toast. That there was no way that he was going to earn his way into heaven. He needed a Savior who would die for his sins and pay for his sins. And he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior who would come. And he trusted and put his faith in Jesus. And it changed him. It changed how he treated other people. It changed his relationships with other people. And people could tell. In fact, they could tell so much that there were people who were outside of the Christian faith who did not like him at all. At all. They hated Stephen for how he was living his life. And we pick up our story in Acts chapter 6, verse 12 for today. So y'all can read along with me. But here's what it says. It says that they arrested Stephen and they brought him before the high council. So here's what was going on. They go on to create this false trial, this fake trial that's about to happen. And they bring in false witnesses, and these witnesses make up a story that Stephen is actually disobeying the Old Testament. He's breaking the Old Testament law. And in the first verse of chapter 7, the story continues and says this. It says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? Giving him a chance to defend himself. And here's what Stephen says, this was Stephen's reply. And you guys are going to thank me later, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to read the rest of his sermon or his speech, because it is the longest sermon in the entire book of Acts. I mean, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn. Like, it just keeps going. It just keeps on going. We're not going to read through all of it. Let me tell you what happens. Stephen, when he has an opportunity to defend himself, he uses that opportunity to give an Old Testament history lesson. And pretty much what he says to the people is, God's people have always rejected God's messengers. This is just what happens. And towards the end of his sermon, here's what he says, and we're going to pick up in verse 51. So look, we just skipped over 50 verses. Here we go. He says this, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet that your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. Look, you deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. Let me just tell you, those are some fighting words right there, okay? I mean, he just let them have it in that moment. If you and I were there today or back then, and we had cell phones, every one of us would be getting our phone out to record it, to share with everybody about what's about to happen. Here's what he says. Look, you rejected God's people. You rejected his leaders, you rejected his prophets, and you rejected his son. You've screwed up big time. And this was a bold statement because he was telling the same people, the same group of leaders, possibly even in the same room where Jesus was condemned and then sent to the cross. It was the same group of guys. And Stephen, in that moment, he didn't shy away. He just told it like it was. And here's what happens next. Verse 54, this is the response. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, obviously, okay? And they shook their fists at him in rage. Some versions say that they clenched their teeth. I mean, they were really, really ticked off, okay? But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily up into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And so he didn't just see this and witness it. He wanted everybody to know it. And so it says that, and he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Look, in the middle of Stephen's most difficult moment of his life, God was right near him. And God allowed Stephen to get a glimpse of heaven, this vision of heaven. And God was near to Stephen. I think that's a great message for today, but that is not the real message for today, because I want you to see what he saw. He saw Jesus standing. Now, why is that so important? Well, it's important because throughout the New Testament, when people get a vision of heaven, here's what they see. Hebrews 1:3 says that when he, Jesus, cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Here's what Jesus is doing up in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand, and he is sitting down. Now, why is that important for Jesus to be seated up in heaven? Well, what it's symbolizing is that he's done. That Jesus is done. He is his completed work of atoning for our sins. It is over. That's why when he was on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished. Every one of us knows what that feels like. When you've had a hard day's worth of work, you've been cleaning the house all day, you've been outside mowing, and you complete everything. You come inside, every single one of us, you know what we want to do? This, right? Like we want to sit down and relax, like we're done, we deserve this moment of rest. In fact, that's what Jesus is doing. He's symbolically sitting down saying, it is finished. But Stephen doesn't see that. Stephen sees Jesus standing up. And the question is, why is he standing up in that moment? And I think it's because of this. I think that what's happening is that Jesus is actually welcoming Stephen home. I think what's really happening is Jesus is acknowledging Stephen in front of the Father because Stephen had acknowledged Jesus in front of people. In fact, in Matthew 10:32, Jesus says that everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And so the Savior is standing. And in a sense, what he's doing is he's standing in recognition of Stephen and what Stephen is doing in that moment. In a way, he's standing like giving Stephen just a round of applause. This standing ovation saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Man, I want that at the end of my life. And this is what Stephen gets to witness. But what got Jesus standing in applause results in a big beating by other people in Stephen's life. Look what happens next. In verse 57, it says, then they put their hands over their ears and they began shouting like a little kid. You guys know, little kid in the back seat of the car, that's what they do and they don't want to hear it, right? They're just done. They close their ears and they begin to scream. That's exactly what these leaders were doing. And they rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats so that they could get their arms loose, right? So they could throw better. And they laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. We're going to put a pin in Saul for a little bit because pretty much the rest of this sermon series throughout the summer is going to be looking at Saul's life in the book of Acts. He ends up becoming Paul. But back to the story, we see that Stephen in this moment begins to be stoned. Stoning still happens today. It's brutal and awful. And I think sometimes we don't realize what is actually happening in that moment. Back then, what they would do is they would take that person, they would tie them up somewhere so they couldn't escape or put them in a pit. There's no way they could get out of the situation. And they wouldn't grab just small little stones, the good skipping stones, right? The ones you could really get some velocity behind. No, they would grab the big, gnarly rocks, the ones that would really hurt you. And they began to throw those at the person. Many, many people would do that. Can you imagine being in that moment, what it was like? It was not a quick death. It was not like a execution by a firing squad or a lethal injection. It was just this slow, agonizing death. I mean, your ankle gets broken, your leg gets broken, your arms get broken, your jaw gets broken. You begin to have internal injuries. It's just this long process, and eventually you get hit in the head so much that it knocks you out. And they take rocks, and they get in closer, and they just begin to beat you over and over again until you die. That's what happened to Stephen. Look what the story says. Verse 59 says, as they stoned him, Stephen responded. It says Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. When he was hated, he didn't hate back. When stones were being thrown at him, he didn't throw stones back. And I'm just telling you what, that's what I would do. I don't know about y'all, but like, I'm going to fight for my life. I'm going to take up some stones. I'm going to throw them back at the people as best I can. I'm going to fight for my life. And he doesn't do that. Instead, you know what he does? He loves people, which is kind of crazy. I wonder if Stephen remembered in that moment what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Stephen did exactly that in the moment, which is kind of crazy. So in Acts, Stephen becomes the first martyr. And it's not for breaking the law. That's not why he became the first martyr. He became the first martyr because of his faith. His faith was the real thing. And that kind of faith pleases the Lord. That's the kind of faith that gets Jesus up off his feet, begins to clap and says, well done. I'm so proud of you for what you have done. Have you ever received a standing ovation like that? I remember in middle school, I was in choir. I didn't like it, guys. Not good at it. But I was in middle school choir, and I remember being at a concert and standing there, you know, and little Clayton standing at the concert and you know, singing. And then after our music's over with, one by one, all the parents begin to stand up and clap, right? Like for their kids. This standing ovation. Before long, everybody's standing up. And I don't care how much you hate that moment. Like, you're proud of yourself in that moment. Everybody's standing and clapping. You're going, man, that feels pretty good. Here's what I'd like to do today. I want to teach you how you can get a standing ovation from God. By looking at Stephen's example of his life and the things that he did, we can learn, hey, if you want at the end of your life, if you want Jesus to get up out of his feet and say, off his feet and say, look, I'm so proud of you. If you want that to happen, here's what you got to do. According to Stephen's story. First is this. If you're a believer in Jesus, you got to share your faith, guys. You have to share your faith without fear. This is exactly what Stephen did. Stephen, in the middle of this moment, he talks to these religious leaders. And he tells them, without fear, that the hope that they have in their inheritance as a Jew, in the law, the Old Testament law, and keeping it, and in the rituals they had of going to the temple, those three things, the three sacred cows of Judaism, those things are not going to save you. That's what he preached. And for you and I, we need to do the same thing. In love, tell people the truth. That look, just knowing about God is not going to save you. Just doing good things, being a good person is not going to save you. Going to church and being religious, that is not going to save you. Only Jesus can save you. People need to hear that truth. But here's what's going to happen. You're probably going to get rejected. I mean, look at Stephen's story. It didn't say that anybody gave their life to Jesus in that moment, right? They just got ticked in that moment. The truth is you may be rejected. But every time you share your faith, you know what happens? a seed is planted in people's lives. That's what happened to Saul. Saul was in this moment. He recognized this moment. He even records this moment, tells it to Luke, who wrote this down. Saul was changed just a little bit in his heart because of what Stephen did. Saul, in Acts chapter 7, he's a terrorist, okay, of Christians. He was killing Christians. One chapter later, in Acts chapter 9, he becomes the greatest evangelist in world history. And I wonder if Stephen's example began to chink away at his hardened heart. And Stephen began to plant that seed. Because that's our job. Our job is to share our faith. Our job is not to convict people of their sins. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is not even to save people. That is Jesus' job. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. Acts chapter 1:8, our theme verse. I want you to go and tell people about me everywhere. As simple as that. Leave the results up to me. I'll handle it. You go and be faithful. That's exactly what Stephen did. If you want Jesus to clap for you at the end of your life, man, we got to start telling people about Jesus. Second thing is this. You got to step up in the moment. Don't sidestep. Every one of us has been on the turnpike or on the highway and you've missed your exit. You know what that feels like when you miss your exit? In that moment, you're like, can I go two lanes over and make it? In that moment, can I cut off some people and make it? Like, am I going to crash in the barrier? And then you just like, you chicken out. You're like, I'll just wait till the next one. And you got to wait, you know, 30 miles or whatever for the next exit or something on the turnpike. And you're frustrated about it. But look, Stephen, he had so many opportunities to take an exit. There were so many exit ramps in his life in this moment. Exit ramps of safety for Stephen. When he was called to be a deacon, to serve, he could have said, guys, man, I'm honored by the nomination, but I'm super busy. I got this business I'm working on. I got a family I'm trying to lead and raise. I appreciate it, but I just can't do it. He could have sidestepped in that moment. He could have taken an exit ramp right then. When he had a chance to share his faith, it would have been so easy for Stephen just to remain silent, hoping that they would spare his life. But that's not what he did. He stepped up. And the reason he stepped up is this, because his affection was not for safety. His affection was for his Savior. His Savior was his affection. It was the thing that he was looking for. He's saying, I want to be like Jesus. I want to serve him with my life. And it cost him dearly. But according to the scripture, Stephen didn't care. He knew it was going to cost him, and he still stepped up. Look, persecution was real for the first Christians back then. It was brutal. And Stephen's speech was like his death warrant. He knew it was going to happen, but he did it anyways. Today, 1 in 7 Christians are under extreme persecution around the world. They face life-threatening persecution, and it's tough. You may think that's not very many, but that 1 in 7 with the number of Christians around the world, that means that there are more Christians being persecuted today than in all of history, right now. Lives are being ruined. Families are being shattered, all because they're living out their faith. Now, here's the truth. Odds are you and I are never going to face that, right? We're not going to face that kind of persecution. But we may face other kind of persecution. We may face career-threatening persecution. We may face relationship-threatening persecution. We may face status-threatening persecution, where people think of you differently. Here's the big one. I think the reason a lot of us don't share our faith, we don't step up in those moments, is because we're afraid of comfort-threatening persecution. Like, that's just too much. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to treat me. Like, I don't want to offend them. I've got other things going on in my life. You have these moments all the time where God is saying, love somebody. All the time God's saying, tell them about me. And we take those moments, and a lot of times we just say, it's just, nope, not me. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I can't share my faith. I don't know it enough. I can make all sorts of excuses, and we sidestep the issue. If you want Jesus to stand up and go, man, well done, you got to step up in those moments. You got to step up. Here's the third thing we got to do. We see it in Stephen's story. Look, we need to pour out grace that's been poured into us. Man, Christians need to be known as grace givers. In this moment, Stephen, he does something insane. He prays for his murderers. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not doing that, right? I know my heart. I'm not going to pray that God forgives them, okay? I'm going to pray that God gets even with them. That's going to be my prayer in that moment. But Stephen, no, he prays that God would forgive them. What kind of crazy person does that? When Jesus is up on the cross, right? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus would do that. Stephen is acting like Jesus in this moment. In fact, so much of Stephen's story is very similar to Jesus' story. Both of them, they're arrested for speaking out. Both of them go through this fake trial. Both of them are condemned and murdered. But I want you to see the real big parallel between both of them is that grace was poured out by both of them in that moment towards people that did not deserve grace. Why? It's because Stephen recognized the grace that was being poured into him. And it overflowed into his out of his life towards other people. Because he recognized that the grace that he's been given, grace is undeserved favor, okay? God's saying, I'm going to not count your sins against you. Instead, I'm going to take them upon myself and I'm going to forgive you. That is what grace is. Every single one of us, we do not deserve that at all. And when we recognize the amount of grace that we've been given, what happens is we begin to pour that out towards other people so they can experience the love of God as well. When I was little, I had a chance to go to New York City. And so my friends and I were walking down the street. I don't know where my parents were. That was weird. But anyways, I don't remember them being there. But in New York, and this tall guy walks up to us, and he's got this trench coat on. He walks up. He's like, hey, guys, y'all want some Oakleys? I got some Oakleys for you. I'm like, oh, okay. He opens up his coat, and he's got the Oakleys, like all these Oakleys just like dangling on the inside. He's like, man, I got a great deal for you. $20. We're like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's giving up. And so I give up my $20. I get me a cool pair of Oakleys, and I begin to walk down the streets of New York City. I'm like, I have just won the lottery here. For $20, I got these awesome Oakleys. It begins to rain, and white paint begins to come down my face with these Oakleys on. I take them off, and it had been painted white, like the little O and stuff. And they weren't Oakleys. They were Folkleys, okay? They were fake Oakleys. People today are looking for the real thing. No one wants a knockoff. A knockoff falls apart when they're under just the slightest bit of pressure. When people look at you, when people look at your life, do they see a cheap fake or do they see the real thing? That's the biggest question for today. Do they see a fake or something real? Like, if you want your life to be real, if you want to be the real thing, here's what you have to do. You have to begin to walk in the footsteps of the real thing, Jesus himself. When you imitate him, when you walk with him, what happens is people begin to see Jesus in you. And that's what Stephen did. Look, Stephen didn't set out to be a martyr. That's not what he did. He set out to just be like Jesus. How simple is that? He wasn't trying to go to his death. He was just trying to be faithful in that moment. But sometimes Christ-like living leads to Christ-like dying. And that's the truth. Sometimes Christ-like living leads to Christ-like persecution and people being against you and pain and suffering. But look, it is worth it. The question is, was it worth it for Stephen? And the answer is yes. And the reason it was worth it is because his example sparked something incredible that, I mean, in fact, the story of Stephen is the turning point in the book of Acts. Because what happened is the early Christians, there's thousands of them, they hear about Stephen. They hear about this Stephen, their friend, okay, their brother in Christ. He'd just been killed, and they're terrified in that moment. And all of a sudden, all this persecution begins to rise up in Jerusalem. People are being arrested, kicked out of their homes, they're fleeing for their lives. And what the Christians do is they run. And they spread. They go back to their homeland. They go to other towns. And God used that moment. His story is a spark to spread the gospel. The people began to do what Jesus called them to do. Go and tell people about me everywhere. Not just in Jerusalem, but everywhere. And Stephen's example changed the course of history. Look, we all want an applause, don't we? We want people to be proud of us. That's what we want, just inside of us. But whose applause are you living for? Whose applause are you living for? Stephen, he lived and died for the applause of one person, and that was Jesus. Look, I want to be like him. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Stephen. At the end of my life, I want Jesus up in heaven. I want him to stand up and be like, Clayton, I'm so proud of you. Not because of the good things I've done, okay? Your good things are not going to get you into heaven. And the truth is, I know my good and my bad. And I'm just, I think Jesus can be like, man, you just barely made it. Come on in, buddy. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen. But man, I desire for Jesus to stand up and say, well done. Well done. Not because of the things I've done, but because of the number of people that are coming with me to heaven. What about you? Are you living your life in such a way that you're sharing your faith without fear of what might happen? Are you stepping up in those moments? Are you stepping to the side? And in those moments, in your relationships, are you pouring out grace to people that have wronged you, that have hurt you? It's worth it, guys. It just might change someone's life. That's what happened in Stephen's life, and it can happen to us as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the chance to hear about Stephen. He was a great man, and I can't believe he did what he did. I don't know if I've got that kind of faith, but I want it. The reality is, Lord, I want to speak for everybody here. I feel like we want a comfortable life. We really want an easy life. We want a prosperous life. But God, I pray that you'd help us to have a real life, a faithful life, willing to do whatever it takes to be obedient to you, to tell people about you everywhere we go. God, maybe that's at home, in our neighborhood, at work, at school, online. We have so many chances to speak into people's lives, but the question is, are we going to step up or step to the side? And I pray, God, you would convict us today. Help us to step up, to tell people about the love of God, to pour grace out in people's lives because of what has happened to us. Father, I pray for anyone in this room, anyone watching online who's never experienced that kind of grace, the grace that can save, the acceptance and love of God. It only comes through a relationship with Jesus. And so I pray today that someone here might say yes to Jesus for the first time, to trust in him, to forgive them of their sins. I pray you change them. I pray they walk out of this place different. Help us, Lord, to be more like Stephen, because he was more like you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.